You're listening to Hollywoodology, a sermon series from Mosaic Church, where we explore theological concepts from Hollywood blockbusters so that you can turn entertainment into opportunity. For more content and information, visit us at www.mosaicfl.org.
Wow. Avatar, right? A movie that came out a couple of months ago. Is that about right? About a year ago? And somewhere around there, I don't know. December of what? 2000-something or other, right? And this movie, when it came out, it was a hugely anticipated movie. I mean, you just watch the preview, and just by the visual effects alone, I think a lot of people are already going, I have got to see this thing. I know I was one of them. I mean, it was like, are you kidding me? I want to fly on that thing. And, with the reality that we had seen the Titanic come out, and it's just the magnitude of that movie, and just in terms of its pure visual effects, and now this one taking it to a whole nother level, it really called out to this country to say, you got to come out. And without a doubt, people came out for this movie in a big way. It made a tremendous amount of money and continues to do that because it is indeed an incredibly visually beautiful and unbelievable experience. So when we step into the world of movies, what we are trying to do for you guys over the next few weeks, starting tonight with Avatar, is to walk you through the reality of entertainment and shifting it from that into opportunity. We have selected movies across the board, movies that we felt in some way or another were movies that really had a cultural impact on our culture. In other words, people went to see them and people liked them or disliked them, therefore talked about them. And if they were talked about, we're going to talk about them in here. We are here, every movie we do for the next few weeks, we are neither saying this is a great movie, nor are we saying this is a horrible movie. We're not telling you what you should or should not watch. What we're doing is saying people watch this stuff, you watch this stuff, and you are going to get into conversations about it. Make sure you're walking into entertainment with the right set of thoughts in your head so that you can watch carefully and so you can draw out of the entertainment the kinds of things that you can utilize in everyday life with the circle of influence that you've been given. So, I want to explain before we jump into this movie, just in my own Renault format, just how I see movies playing out as I watch them and what you ought to be watching for. I want to start with this word ideology, okay? Ideology, I've got a couple of dictionary definitions here. I just want to read them to you. Here we go. First one. Ideology out of the dictionary online, the body of beliefs that guide a person, institution, or group. Okay, there it is. What is an ideology? It is the body of beliefs that guide this person or organization. Every single human being, every single organization, every single body has an ideology. They have a set of beliefs that drive them. And whatever opportunity any person gets to creatively display their ideas, they're going to do that. So the movie industry is about money, but the people making the movies are creative and awesome thinkers that want to express themselves to you. That is what we all are doing constantly with the areas that we have gifting in. And in this particular case, ideas want to be expressed that come to you in a creative format. Every single movie has a big idea, and then it has numerous smaller ideas within the movie that usually feed the big idea. I want you to remember that the movies that you see, the big ones, the ones that hit the theaters and go nuts, they did not happen in 3 weeks, okay? Most of these movies were conceived and the process was begun years and years and years before you ever get to see it in the movie. It's incredible for me when I dig back and see when concepts came to the table and when they actually became a movie you and I watch, and the amount of years between those spaces with people diligently working. What that means is this: every word in the movie is intentionally placed. every scene, every character, every facial expression, every kind of representation is carefully weeded through hundreds of thousands of people so that when they give you a movie, exactly what they want you to see, feel, and think is what they're going to give you. I mean, imagine if you, before you ever spoke to your spouse, had days to think about what you were going to say. How about weeks? How about years? I mean, do you think you would miss anything? I know I probably wouldn't. But unfortunately, in real life, you've got seconds. And then what comes out of your mouth is all wrong and you have no idea why. These guys don't get it wrong. Do you understand? At least from what they want. Now, sometimes as those ideas are presented to us, the movie industry obviously wants you to enjoy the movie, to have a great feeling when you leave one way or the other, to have it moved you. They want to move you. Why? Because if you are moved, you will talk about it. If you talk about it, others will come and see it. If they do, lots of money is going to be made. Also, the movie industry, certain directors definitely hope that the idea, excuse me one second. Got it. Run for your lives! Okay, there is a wasp. There you go. Oh, look at her. Everybody give a big hand for our heroine right here. Just killed the horrible wasp. Okay, back to ideology. This is what movies are about, folks. Momentary happenings that we planned from the beginning so that you would be moved. Isn't that awesome? We worked on that for days. Okay, here we go. Okay, as we jump into the movies and they work to try and make sure that you are moved in the way you want to be moved, the directors and the creators want to make sure that the idea, the big idea and the little ideas, that you buy into them and that you talk about them. So everything is shaped toward that. Here's how an idea is going to be handed to you, okay? Generally speaking, they are going to take reality. Every movie is going to take a version of reality. And they are going to present that reality to you in selective manner, okay? So let's call that a selective reality. It is part of what's real, but not the whole picture. There is no movie that you watch that you're going to get the whole real picture. Because the whole real picture in life is not fun, it's not happy, and nobody feels warm and fuzzy about it. But the selected parts of any reality is kind of cool. If you could pick and choose the parts of your life that you liked and the parts you didn't, wouldn't that be fun? But that's not how real life works. That's how the movies work. And then, once they've selected a reality, very carefully, a portion of what is real, so that you don't go, oh, that's totally not true, they add to that selected reality an added fantasy. Something that isn't real, but added into a selected reality starts feeling real. Okay? So you see this in romantic comedies all the time, right? The reality of love, which isn't really reality, and then that moment where two fingers touch and you almost feel the spark, right? And the music starts in the background. La, la. Who has ever had music start in the background when you've looked at the woman that you love? Oh, look at those. It's beautiful. You guys are awesome. You guys live in a version of fantasy. We should talk about it afterwards. Okay, so here's the deal. When you take a selected reality and an added fantasy and you bring the two together, if you can take those two and you can speak to the emotions of a human being, you have the ability to take an ideology and start shaping it into the mind of the person watching. So what every movie is going to do is try and speak to an emotional response in your life. That is things like your sense of justice, your sense of fear, your sense of love, your sense of greed, your sense of desire. These are the kinds of things that the movie is going to speak to. And they want to present selected reality with added fantasy, bring it to an issue in your life that's emotional, and then say, what's the idea? And have you answer the question. This is the idea. So Avatar does that masterfully.
in the middle of incredible visual wonder that you know is not real. We all know blue people on planets that tie their tentacles to the mother tree don't actually exist. But when you're done with this movie, I wonder if you don't doubt that just a little bit, right? Because I remember saying to Brooke when I'd watched this movie, the helicopters they're flying are not real. But I thought they were a real part of the unreal part. You can't even tell the difference anymore between what's real and what's not in these incredible movies. And so they begin to present an idea. Tonight, I want to walk you through Avatar, and I want to show you the small ideas that are presented that feed the bigger idea, and then how you utilize that in discussion with your friends, both good and bad, from the movie. So the movie begins very early on with this scene right here. I want you to take a look at this.
Parker, you know, I used to think it was benign neglect, but now I see that you're intentionally screwing me.
Grace, you know, I enjoy our little talks.
Oops. I need a researcher, not some jarhead dropout.
Well, actually, I thought we got lucky with him.
Lucky?
Yeah.
How is this in any way lucky?
Well, lucky your guy had a twin brother, and lucky that brother wasn't some oral hygienist or something. A Marine we can use. I'm assigning him to your team as security escort.
The last thing I need is another trigger-happy moron out there.
Look, you're supposed to be winning the hearts and the minds of the natives. Isn't that the whole point of your little puppet show? If you look like them and you talk like them, then they'll start trusting us.
We build them a school, we teach them English, but after what? How many years? Relations with the indigenous are only getting worse.
Yeah, that tends to happen when you use machine guns on them.
Right. Come here. This is why we're here. Unobtainium. Because this little gray rock sells for 20 million a kilo. That's the only reason. It's what pays for the whole party. It's what pays for your science. Comprendo? Now those savages are threatening our whole operation. We're on the brink of war, and you're supposed to be finding a diplomatic solution. So use what you've got and get me some results.
All right, so that's how the movie begins. What do we got going on here, folks? What is the big idea right here? What? Okay, we got greed for sure. Got greed going on. Why do you guys say greed? What's real about this? What is the reality in that story? There's a resource somebody wants. Have you guys ever known in our world that that might be true? Anybody ever experienced people that want resources from the ground on our planet? I mean, immediately you guys are all thinking, you're thinking back all the way to the Crusades and beyond and all the way to the big oil companies and all. I mean, you got it, right? Big, wealthy, powerful companies that want something and their people in the way, right? Is that real? Does that actually happen? Yes. So immediately we all feel a little sense of that justice that says, oh, there's a big company involved, and there's unobtainium. I even love the words they use for these things, right? This is unobtainium right here. You can't get it. It's very precious. And the natives are there. Did you hear the word there? Savages. Did you hear that? Natives. They're in the way. We need to move them. You're supposed to find a diplomatic solution. The little games you're playing, who is he talking to? He's talking to the scientist, right? The scientist has an understanding of a larger reality on our planet. And as we live in a place of green thinking, we start feeling from the beginning of this movie a certain sense of a real kindred with the scientist and a certain sense of disdain for the big company. And she magically in there says, the last thing I need on my team is another trigger-happy jarhead, okay? What is a jarhead? It's a Marine. Do you guys know who our Marines are? They are guys and ladies sent out into the field to protect us against terrorism and horror. They fight every single day for your and my freedom. In this movie, you start tying those guys to the big evil corporation. And before you know it, you like the scientist in the white coat and the trigger-happy Marines are out of their mind, right? And slowly, an idea begins to emerge. Who are the bad guys? The evil corporations and the military that helps them get what they want. Who are the good guys? The scientists that care about the trees. Now, whether or not that is true, that is a reality that starts emerging. You don't even know it's happened, but you start feeling it. Okay? Now, they take this a step further. They start feeding that reality for you because they're creating a world that they want to show you something. They're selecting certain pieces and puzzles. So then the first thing they've established is the morons are the Marines that are trigger happy and the corporations, and the really smart, cool people are the people that are scientists. Now they're going to feed that idea with the tribe. The tribe is what? Savage, right? But they're going to change that for you and show you how our view, the corporation and the military, of those people that are savage is actually completely incorrect. They're going to flip this on us now. Take a look. This is awesome. They begin with this scene right here. You're going to see the Marine in his avatar body meet one of the indigenous people, and you're going to experience a very interesting scene. Take a look.
Well, if I'm like a child, then, look, maybe you should teach me.
Sky people cannot learn to do not see.
They teach me how to see.
No one can teach you to see.
Whoa. Look, come on, look. Can't we talk?
Yep.
Say, you know, where'd you learn to speak English? Dr. Augustine's school? Wilhelm!
You're like a baby. No. Go back.
No.
Okay. Go back. Dana. Seeds of the sacred tree. Very pure spirits.
What's that all about?
Come. Come.
All right, so just so you guys know, the spirits, the pure spirits that floated on him didn't actually choose him. The director and writers chose him, okay? And I say that very specifically because, again, this is one of those moments where you've got the feeding of the idea that the jarhead Marine is a child, is a moron, doesn't know what he's doing, even though he may be a Marine. Why is he a child and a moron? because the indigenous people understand the reality of our world beyond the regular, normal stuff that we see. They understand the spiritual. So you're starting to get the idea that the people that really get how this world works are the savage tribal people that have a view of the spiritual. Now they add to this beginning idea a fantasy. They add spirits that come in the form of seeds from a big tree and come and rest on the marine, okay? Is there a reality to the idea that people on our planet believe that they are pure spirits coming from Mother Earth that show signs? Anybody ever heard of that? I have many times. I grew up in Africa. Most tribes in Africa have a version of that story, okay? Most tribes in the U.S., some of the Indian people have versions of that story. Pure spirits that function within Mother Earth that come and give you signs. The only difference is that in this story, it's tangible. Instead of it being an idea, it's a reality, is it not? Because you saw them, didn't you? Didn't you see them? They came, and what were they? They were pure spirits, seeds from the tree of life. So before you know it, even though you know intellectually that that was not real, suddenly the real idea that people believe they are pure spirits in the world coming from trees has found its way into your mind as something more tangible than it was before. Instead of it being something that somebody just believes, somewhere deep inside you, you go, huh, I think I just saw it. This idea follows suit now as they continue down and the marine arrives at the rest of the tribe, and you listen now to another very tribal idea that comes right out of Africa and the Indian people of America, the Native Indians, as you look at how a tribe functions with a leader who is male and then usually a female that is the spiritual leader, usually psychic on some level and able to see the spiritual world and interpret for the spirits what's going on in real life. Okay, now that's an idea in tribalism. It plays out in many ways. They're going to make that idea very real for you right here. Take a look.
Because we're right there. God, belong along everything.
We're both be me young. Zakur, that wow me at the Ewa.
Otewe! Sanzeneke on el Terranio! Yes, he will.
What's he saying?
Get the pay off a hail, Akimon.
What's he saying?
My father is deciding whether to kill you.
My father. It's nice to meet you, sir.
Get it! Forget to wong thee, well, Steve.
That is Mother. She is Sakik, the one who interprets the will of Ewa.
Who's Ewa?
What are you called?
Jake Sully.
Why did you come to us?
Came to learn.
We have tried to teach other sky people. It is hard to fill a cup which is already full.
My cup is empty. Trust me. Just ask Dr. Augustine. I'm no scientist.
What are you?
I was a Marine. A warrior of the Jarhead clan.
Sam Siupak? Osuno it's Pivanev to it! Sipolo Alve, when you run your sound to you, at Sole Aungal. Orea Ungaro Lutekin, Anumanuul.
Right. Golpo Leopold. Ah! It is decided. My daughter will teach you our ways. Learn well, Jake-Sully. Then we will see if your insanity can be cured.
You see the idea continuing? Who is insane? Jake is insane. He is insane. And so are the jarheads, and so are any sophisticated people. Anyone that thinks beyond what they know is insane. Who is intelligent? And who is connected? And who knows what they're talking about? The tribal people. But we believe that because they have selected what to demonstrate to you about these tribal people. I know tribes. In fact, Gabe over there and I were talking. Gabe studied as his minor tribal anthropology, right, Gabe? And we had a fascinating discussion about how tribes actually work, okay? Here, they have selected certain truths. Did you see that poking and the tasting of blood? I've seen that done before. That is a way of connecting with the spirits. And the way that she interprets the will of Ewa, which is the tree of the spirits, which speaks to them where the seeds come from, all of those are real ideas, folks, found in real tribalism. But the reality is those ideas are coming to life before your eyes while we are selectively demonstrating to you how arrogant and unintelligent and uncooperative the reality of the big corporation and the military world is. And as the movie progresses, you start feeling a deep sense of kindred toward the tribal people, as you should, because you see their deep, beautiful, wonderful connection to the reality of the world around them. We see this idea finally continue on in this scene where she is teaching Jake and she says a couple of things. Listen to this.
Doing it will be stronger.
Neytiri calls me scoundrel. It means moron.
This is a very important part of it.
Norm's attitude has improved lately.
But it's not just I'm seeing you in front of me. It's I see into you. I see.
It's good he's back on board. But he thinks I'm a scoundrel too.
I understand you. So you gotta get this, okay?
I gotta run.
Okay? Let's go.
Okay. So there you see, right? Scoundrel. That's the new nickname we have for several people on our staff now, right? Scound, moron. Joel in particular, I think we picked for that one. So here you see that idea continuing on that we're starting to recognize something we should have recognized to start with, right? Which is that we, the sophisticated Western world, and going back to those who went in and occupied land, including the first people to arrive in America, the first people to arrive in Southern Africa. I mean, we've all lived this history, right? Where arrogant people show up and take what belongs to somebody else, and they are tying us to that story, that injustice, that reality, and saying, you ought to start seeing that we have missed what's actually going on here. When you look at a tribal group of people or a different culture, stop thinking that they are insane and start realizing they probably know more than you do. And so we begin to connect with this. Now, the movie takes that idea and starts showing us this tribe. They show us how deeply connected they are to the reality of the world. I want to show you one scene here where you begin to feel that connection that this tribe has to the world and the beauty in that connection. Take a look.
I'm trying to understand this deep connection people have to the forest. She talks about a network of energy that flows through all living things. She says all energy is only borrowed, and one day you have to give it back.
Thank you.
Matika Maya Matsukan. Otenaru Seyi Ilai. Onaru Huewa. Salea Tawehu. The Okian. Sluna Hafi Hafi.
Glinkel. You're ready.
That is exactly how the African and Indian tribal people handle the reality of life and death. That we are all tied to the spiritual world, and life and death, whether you are an animal or a human being, is all in the same world. And we are given by this movie that selective truth to say, do you see how beautiful this is? Can you imagine the value of life that these people put on even something as simple as a deer that they kill? It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And you start feeling deeply toward that. We see that connection continue. Can you guys, the scene that I want to play now is the one with the tree, okay? I don't know if it's the next one or not. I think it is. You might skip one. Next one. Play that real quick. We take this one step further now into the last part of how tribal people think. Watch this.
This is a place for prayers to be heard and sometimes answered. The tree of voices. The voices of our ancestors. Within Ewa. You are a Motikaya now. You may make your bow from the wood of Home Tree.
So, the final idea that we walk into in the tribal thinking is this reality that all of their ancestors, all of their memories, all of their things are tied into the beauty of this connective earth that has everything tied into it. And as you and your energy comes and goes, so too you hear the reality of your ancestors. You guys have seen this reality in other movies as well as knowing that it exists in real tribes again. There's a difference though. When you hear the stories, read it in books, your kids are doing homework assignments, it's easy to read that stuff and say, well, guys, I know that they believe that stuff, but there's not actually reality to it. In this movie, that changes. Did you see what they did? They tied themselves into the tree, and what did they hear? Voices. And what did she say? They're alive, Jake. And you're sitting in a movie where I'm showing you a few scenes from. You've sat now for an hour and a half. You love this tribe. You love their beauty. You love what's happening to them. You've fallen in love with the connection they have. And although you're a thinking and intelligent person, you have forgotten yourself a little bit and you're starting to go, I just need to be careful what I tell people is true or not, because boy, that sure seemed right and true. Selective truth with added fantasy. The difference between what you can do in a movie and what you can do in real life is in a movie you can make the voices real. In real life, it's not so easy. And so we see this moment occurring. And now the ultimate moment happens. You've fallen in love with the tribe, their beautiful way of handling the earth, their connectiveness to the world, their understanding of the spiritual. You've seen Jake, the jarhead moron, come around and become one of them. And now we step back into the military and the big company, and we watch what they do. And this is going to shake your world. Take a look at this final scene. Want to go right to the very last scene, guys.
All right, people, let's get this done. I want every gas round you got right in the front door.
Roger, see what's going on.
This is their home,
fire,
Mother
fire.
Tree.
Bingo. I could shoot, Ace.
Sir, they've opened fire.
You gotta be kidding me.
Check the boom!
These dumb bastards ain't getting the message. All right, let's turn up the heat.
Switch incendiaries.
Fire.
Wow, right? Should you feel something about what you just saw? The answer is yes. Is it ever okay for somebody to do what just happened there? Here are the savages, let's scatter the roaches. No, that's never okay. And your sense of justice is kicking in a big way now. You've fallen in love with this tribe and their ideas and their thoughts and their version of spiritualism. And now the big bad military with the big bad corporation just came in and treated them like nothing and scattered them. And the movie progresses into a big war zone between the tribal people and the big company. And of course, in the movie, unlike Israel in everyday life, the tribal people win. In real life, the tribal people never win. The big corporations wipe them off the planet and move forward and get the unobtainium. But this is a movie that's supposed to tell us how it's supposed to work. Now, when this movie unfolds like this, we usually have a couple of different responses. The Christian world usually cries out with a movie like this. They go, oh my gosh, this movie is horrible. Did you see all the New Age thinking in the movie? You guys have probably heard it. All the New Age ideas that are coming out. Those folks, first of all, these are not New Age ideas. They are old age ideas. The New Age movement is borrowing them from a very long time ago and calling it their own. These ideas are as old as Solomon and beyond. They are as old as creation. So, this is absolute perfect example of tribalism. The difference here is this. In their selective reality, they have left out the reality of how tribalism really works. Okay? Beautiful picture connected to Mother Tree, talking to ancestors in perfect harmony with the earth. That's what they gave you. Here's what they left out. That same value system about the deer dying and going back is given to your children and your enemies. You wipe out enemies and sacrifice children without a blink of an eye if it is going to affect the spiritual world. You also live in absolute abject fear of the spiritual world every day of your life because you live in a pagan system that says this: if the gods are mad, you're in trouble. If you get sick, you've done something wrong. If it doesn't rain, you've done something wrong. If it doesn't work out for you, you've done something wrong. I looked in this week to some of the anthropology and tribalism. It is incredible, as you go through tribalism, the stories of how to fix the problem with the gods. There is everything from human sacrifice, blood sacrifice, all sorts of cutting, self-mutilation. There is areas where if one person in the village is sick, every other person brings them a gift in case it was their fault that they got sick. I mean, across the board, there's incredible stuff that goes on into tribalism. What you ought to do if you are watching a movie like this is as soon as the movie's over, go, I wonder what the real story is. Dig into the real story, and then when you step in with your friends, you're able to say, guys, what a cool movie that was, no doubt. And what a beautiful people the blue people are. But the blue people are just that. They're blue and they're imaginary. Nobody actually lives that life. The people that live in that world, in that forest, here's the life they rarely live. Some of that's true, but here's what's added to that. And P.S., there's fantasy in this movie, like voices you don't actually hear, and things that don't actually happen, and little spirit bugs that don't actually land on you, okay? Those were not real. There are no such seeds. The people think they are, but you don't get to see them until you watch a fantasy movie. And for the record, the selective reality of the military portrayal in this movie is completely skewed. Are there military men like that colonel? Yes. Are they the majority of our military? No. And I can tell you something. You wonder how circumstances like Vietnam, when people return from Vietnam, happen. It's by these ideologies being fed to the public until you go, we hate the military. The military fight for our freedom. This movie changes that. And when you're done, you ought to have that conversation with your friends. And you ought to say, let's not allow selective reality and added fantasy to change our view of what is real. Great movie, here's what's real. It opens the door to the discussion of the real. If you want to take that discussion further, you take it into the pagan world versus God's world. Always bring a movie back to the gospel, right? And here's the gospel in this movie. The tribal people believe in a pagan system. They only showed you the neat parts of that pagan system, because every pagan system has some neat parts. Here are the not so neat parts. And you lay those out and you say, you know why those guys live like this? Because they believe you live life to please or not please the gods. Do you know how we live life? Do we live life in fear of God to please or not please Him so that He will treat us good? No, the gospel is the opposite message. And there you begin to share the reality of the gospel. Then you step into the world of how we are to deal with people. Speak to the issue of justice. What was real in this movie about justice? Could we ever treat anyone, whether they believe what we believe or not, that way? Should we ever? No. Should we ever see any person as a savage and a horror before we understand them and know them and see them? No. We are called by Scripture to walk into the world, and whether slave or free, Jew or Gentile, tribal or sophisticated Western thinker, we are to treat people the same way. Speak to that issue of justice. Tell them, yes, when corporations do that stuff, it's horrible. And you hate it as much as they do. But the fact of the matter is that we as a people need to be doing something about that beyond watching movies like this and getting mad at the military. And then look in the movie for principles that you can draw out of the movie that are awesome. Always do that. There are very few non-redeemable movies. Some of them are. Don't watch those. Generally speaking, the world of horror movies, I'm just throwing it out there public, totally stupid. If you're a horror fan, great, I love you. But there's very few redeemable qualities in that stuff, okay? The reality is most movies have a redeemable quality. In this movie, is there lots of new age or rather old age thinking? Yes, but listen to this. Two things stood out to me in this movie that were incredible. Incredible. Number one, did you remember the scene where she said, it's very hard to fill somebody with anything if their cup is already full? Is that a principle that is absolutely true? if you are an arrogant person with your cup full, it is very hard to teach you anything. Speak to that with your friends. Say, man, wasn't that awesome? Isn't that so true? We should be humble enough to keep our cups half empty so that we always have room to learn. What an incredible principle. Here's another principle. Did you see the scene where he said that they have this word in the tribalism that says, I see you? And what that means is that it's not I physically see you, I know you, I understand you, I get you. I still use that. You know what I've been doing since this movie came out? When I see little children, I'm talking about like the 0 through 5-year-old age, even in this church, you'll watch me do it. When I get down on my knee and I look at them, the kids in this church, I look at them and I say these words, I see you. I so see you. Because I want them to hear that from me. And I try to say it from my eyes. I see you. I want to know you. Can you imagine what world would be like in the church here if we all started saying, I am going to work toward being able to see every one of you. When I mean see you, I mean know you. How awesome is that? Speak to that reality. Tell people this movie moved me in that way, but it irritated me in this way, and here's why. And then as you begin to unpack those things, you can speak to the beautiful visual effects and all the other wonderful stuff in the movie, and you've brought an accuracy and a reality to people's thinking, and you've taught them to go back and think about a movie. Let me give you one last thought before I release you guys to go and get your children, okay? Listen to this. In movies, please, folks, we Christians were great at this, okay? Stay away from symbolism. Stay away from symbolism. And stay true to principle. Principles are truths that exist that are real and you can use them. Make sure the principle is biblical and then use it. If you find a principle in the movie that's good, grab it. But don't make symbols. The tree represents the Father God. And the people are angels. And they wrap their tentacles to the Father God. And I've heard this from Christians out of this movie. I'm like, whoa! The tree is not the Father. Those are not angels. These are tribal people that believe in their ancestors. Oh, the ancestors. Yeah, those were the demons. Whoa! It's amazing how we Christians want to make movies like this good by turning them into symbols. We do it all the time. This symbolizes that, and this symbolizes that. The movie guys use symbols, but they have those intended symbols for intended purposes. Don't try to twist their symbols, because when you do, I promise you, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. Any symbol you place in a movie is going to have deep flaws in it, but any principle, by definition, isn't from the movie. It's a principle you already know that you're borrowing now from the movie. You're saying, I know this principle. The movie just spoke to it. Wow, how cool is that? So, what do we stick to? Principles. What do we stay away from? Symbols. What are we looking for when we watch a movie? What are the ideologies in the movie? And how are we going to find those ideologies? What is the selected reality and the added fantasy that they're bringing to the table so that we are bought into an idea that may not be fully true? When I'm done with a movie, I've got to go and add to the reality, and I've got to remove the fantasy, and I'll come up with a real idea, and then I can present that idea to my friends and bring the Bible to bear on that idea and say, here's how God works. Wow, what a conversation. And then you can go and enjoy a movie like Avatar and go, that was an awesome experience. Now I know what to do with it. Never, ever walk into a movie without seeing it as an opportunity by which you can draw principles, change thoughts by coming up with what is real and presenting it to your friends. This is why we have movies. They think it's to entertain us. We know better. It's to give us opportunity for conversation about the gospel with our friends. And please, please, don't become part of that Christian group that bans every movie on the planet as soon as somebody says boo. Okay? If Dobson says don't watch a movie, don't always believe him. I love Dobson, but it seems like every Disney movie and everything else is